John chapter 20. Beginning in verse 30, Jesus now writing, or John writing at the end of his gospel, and truly Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. I want to repeat the last part of it. And that believing you may have life in his name. Father, I pray that you would open our hearts and our minds to what you have for us this day, Lord Jesus. In your name. Amen. This is kind of a conclusion to Paul's gospel here, or to John's gospel here. This is kind of the end. And what happens in chapter 21, which we're going to look at today, is really an epilogue. It's an addendum. It's something that he has added. It's an appendix, like you would see at the end of a book. And the question is, why did John write this epilogue? Why did he add chapter 21? Well, there's a couple of reasons why we think that John did write chapter 21. One is to clear up a misconception about him personally. We'll see about this in just a few minutes. To clear up a misconception about him personally. It was believed by the early church that John was going to live up until the time that Jesus Christ would return. That he'd remain alive 1, 2, 3 thousand years or so until Christ would come back. And as we'll see at the end of this chapter, that John will clarify that misconception personally about him. But it is also believed, too, that the epilogue was given to clear up or to validate Peter's ministry, too, personally. You see, Peter's failure, his denial of Jesus Christ, well-known. Well-known throughout the community. And there are many people that would say, hey, Peter is exempt from ministry because of his denial of Jesus Christ. I told you, and it is true, that whenever Peter would speak, people would sit in the background, hecklers would go, hock-a-doodle-doo! Remembering the day that he denied Christ and the rooster crowed. Two reasons, but I think, personally, that the real reason John wrote this epilogue is because it illustrates the purpose of his letter so graphically. So practically. The purpose of this letter? I wrote this that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life in his name. I think what happens in chapter 21 graphically illustrates the purpose of John's letter, that you might have life in his name. Well, I'll show you why. Verse 1 of chapter 21, after these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And in this way he showed himself. Simon Peter, Thomas called the twin, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and the two others of his disciples were together. We know that Jesus had appeared to his disciples as a group on two previous occasions. And he told them to stay in Galilee, to hang out in Galilee for a while. But for some reason, Peter begins to kind of fall off from the pack, so to speak. He kind of begins to break away from the leaders. And in verse 3 it says that Simon Peter said to them, these people, I'm going fishing. And they said to him, we are also going with you. And they went out and immediately got into the boat, and that night they caught nothing. Simon Peter breaks away from the pack. He kind of withdraws a bit. And the question is, why? Why? When it says that Peter went fishing, it doesn't mean he went out to drown a worm or to just wet a fly. I'm going back to fishing. I'm going to resume my occupation as a fisherman. He was a very successful fisherman. So were James and John, the sons of Zebedee. I'm going back to that. Why? Well, one possible reason is that he was discouraged. Just discouraged. He may have felt like, man, I'm unworthy. I denied Jesus Christ, and I'm just a little bit discouraged. God is telling the others to wait in Galilee, that he has a plan for them. They all knew that they were going to be Christ's mouthpiece, that they were going to be his witnesses. He talks about it in Matthew 28. But certainly, Peter must have thought, God has no plans for me. I denied him. He might have been discouraged. Or, he could have been disenchanted. Like when you go buy a car from a car salesman and you feel like you got tricked. I've been following Jesus for 3 years. I gave my life to him, and man, I feel like just a schnook. I feel like I got fucked. So I'm going to go back, and I'm going to go fishing. And it says that he took a bunch of guys with him. Thomas, the twin, Nathanael, Cana of Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, which are James and John, and two others of the disciples were with him. There are a couple of these guys that are named, four of these guys that are named, and two of them that are not named. Who are these two unnamed guys? We don't know, but I suggest that you can insert your own name there if you want. These guys that are now withdrawing or rebelling against the plan of God to wait in Galilee, I suggest that you can just put your own name there if you want. And so, they go out fishing. They got into the boat, it says, and that night it says that they caught nothing. All night long they fished, and yet they caught nothing. Zippo. Not a single one. Not a single fish at all in the net. Verse 4, but when the morning had now come, Jesus stood on the shore, and yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. And then Jesus said to them, children, have you any food? And now here comes the children, is what he's saying, have you caught any fish? And here comes the first and the greatest miracle of all. These fishermen said, no. Now, most fishermen say, well, you know, yeah, my boat's full of them. Or you should have been one that got away, man, as a big honker. But these guys, no. I haven't caught a one. These guys that are in rebellion, out all night long, fishing, come up with nothing. They're supposed to be in Galilee, and suddenly there's Jesus standing on the seashore, and he says, children, have you caught any fish? Have you any food? I love the fact that Jesus says to them, he calls them children. He doesn't say, hey, sinners! Or, hey, ex-apostles, former disciples of mine. Have you caught any food? No, he calls them children. In fact, one commentator says the accurate interpretation of the word children is boys. Hey, boys! Got any food? Caught any fish? And they answered, no. And he said to them, and I love this, they're just a few hundred feet off the shore now, Jesus, and again, these guys don't recognize right off the bat that it's Jesus. He says in verse 6, well, cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some fish. Now, I know a lot of you conservatives here are saying, yeah, see, there it is, the right side of the boat. Jesus is a Republican. You know? There it is, scriptural evidence. And he's seated at the right hand of the Father. No, I'm sorry. But Jesus, and I think these guys don't know that it's the Lord. He says, now, cast your net on the right side of the boat, and you'll find some fish. And certainly, the dials are beginning to tick in their brains now. Well, this happened once before. We recognize who this might be. Remember, Jesus had told them to cast their net fishing once before at the very beginning of their ministry. And Jesus told them to cast their nets on the other side of the boat. And now, they do exactly the same thing, just a few feet away. These aren't wide, huge boats. These are just, you know, narrow boats. They're probably no wider than a rowboat. And he said, just cast your nets on the other side, just a little bit of a distance to the right, and you'll catch some fish. And so they cast. And now they were not able to draw it in because of the multitude of fish. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved, which is the writer of this gospel, John, said to Peter, I know who this is. I get it. That person
It's the Lord.
It's Jesus. Now, when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he had removed it, which was commonplace for fishermen in those days, to just fish in the BBB, and he plunged into the sea. It's the Lord! And so what happens? Peter just dives into the water. Big splash, you know. And it says, but the other disciples came in the little boat, for they were not far from land, but about 200 cubits, and they were dragging the net with fish. And as soon as they had come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and the fish laid on it, and bread. And Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish you caught, or bring some of the fish which you have just caught. So they come to the shore, and these guys, there's so many fish, they're just dragging the net behind them. And there on the shore is Jesus with fire and the fish that's on it, seasoned, scaled, clean, and bread, all ready to eat. And Jesus says, now, get some of your fish that you've just caught and bring them here. And Simon Peter went up and dragged the net to land full of large fish, 153. And although there were not so many that the net was not broken. Simon Peter went up and he dragged the net to land by himself. I find this interesting. There's other five apostles, and they're just dragging this net behind him, and Jesus says to Peter, hey Peter, go grab some fish. And he just grabs the net one hand, you know, by himself. Now, we do know that Peter was a giant of a man, but he wasn't a superman. So how do we explain this? How do we explain that Peter was able to grab the net and drag it up to the beach himself? I suggest it's because Jesus told him to do it, and as we have learned long ago, his commandments are his enablement. Jesus says, go get the net. Okay, I can do that. And then you say, look, I like that. It's a wonderful picture. And then in verse 12, Jesus said to them, come on, eat, guys. Sit down. Let's eat some breakfast. Yet none of the disciples dared to ask him, who are you, knowing that it was the Lord? Verse 13, Jesus then came and took the bread and gave it to them, and likewise the fish. This is now the third time Jesus showed himself to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. So, verse 15, when they had eaten breakfast, this is the fish that Jesus had prepared for them, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? Simon, do you love me more than these? Possibly pointing now to the boats that were there. Do you love me more than these boats? These symbols of your occupation? Do you love me more than possibly pointing to the fish? Do you love me more than these fish? You know, the work that you do. Maybe he pointed to the six other disciples that are there. Do you love me more than these guys, these men you're fellowshipping with? Do you love me more than these? And he said to them, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And he said to him, then feed my lambs. Jesus says, Peter, do you love me agape, a perfect love, unselfishly? Do you love me in that fashion? And Peter responds, in the phileo sense, in the brotherly sense. Lord, I love you like a brother. You know I love you like a brother. There was a time, God, there was a time, Christ, when I felt that I loved you perfectly. In fact, I was willing to lay down my life for you, Lord. I was willing to do that. But now, God, I see that, man, I was a little brain dead when I said that. And Peter now honestly says, Jesus, I got to be honest with you and with me. I love you the best that I know how, and that's in a brotherly sense, not in a perfect sense. And Jesus says, then feed my lambs. Verse 16, he said to him again a second time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me in a perfect sense? Perfectly, unselfishly. And he said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you like a brother. unperfect. And he said to him, then tend my sheep. And he said to him a third time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? And Peter was grieved because he said to him a third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you the best that I can. I was willing to lay down my life for you, Father. But Lord, you know that I love you just the very best that I can. It's faulty. My love fails. My love is not good enough. And Jesus said to him, then feed my lamb. And then in verse 18, very interesting. Again, Jesus, so well aware of Peter's problem right here, might have been disenchanted, might have been a little bit discouraged. To give words of encouragement to Peter, to build him up, not bum him out or burn him out, he says this. I'm going to tell you something, Pete. Pay close attention. Most assuredly, I say to you, when you were younger, you girded yourself and walked where you wished. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish. This he spoke, signifying by what death he would glorify God. Jesus takes Peter and says, Pete, look at my face. Look at me. I want to tell you something. You're doubting your love towards me, Pete. That's good. That's good, because it's not your love that matters. It's my love that matters. You're doubting it, but I want you to know something, Pete. You're gonna die for me. You said once you lay down your life for me, and I'm here to tell you prophetically that your life will be taken from you for me. You're gonna love me to the very end. This is intended to be a word of encouragement to Pete, not to bum him out. Pete, you do love me. It's good enough. You're alive. And you're going to be crucified for my sake. And truly, we do know that Peter was crucified. And when he was taken to the cross, Peter did not think it honorable for him to be able to be crucified in the same fashion as Christ was, right side up. And so he asked that he be crucified upside down. And he was. He gave up his life for the Lord. God, Jesus speaks to him to build him up, not to burn him out. You are going to give up your life for me. So he says to him, now, Pete, I'm going to say to you one more time, follow me. Follow me, Pete. Stay close to you outside me. Then, Peter, verse 20, coming around, saw the disciple whom Jesus loved. John never really refers to himself. It's always he refers to himself. He's humble here. But notice there's a little bit of pride here as well. I love it. He says, Peter, turning around, saw the disciple whom Jesus loved. You know, the one who leaned on his breast at supper time. You know, the one that asked all the pertinent questions like, Lord, who's the one who betrays you? I'm humble, but, you know, I'm not that humble. you know, Peter or John talking about himself. I'm the one whom Jesus loved, the one who was closest to Jesus. I'm the one that asks all the right questions. And Peter, seeing this guy, John, said to Jesus, but Lord, what about this man? And Jesus said, now clearing up again this misconception about his ministry, or about his about him living forever, this misconception about him practically, he says, Jesus said to him, if I will that he remain till I come, speaking about John, what is that to you? You follow me. Then this saying went out among the brethren that this disciple would not die. Yet Jesus did not say to him that he would not die, but if I will that he remain until I come, what is that to you? He closed up that misconception about himself. And he says in verse 24, this is the disciple who testifies of these things and wrote these things, and we know that his testimony is true. And there are also many other things that Jesus did, which, if they were written one by one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that would be written. Amen. A very familiar story to all of us. And what is this story saying to us this day here at Calvary Chapel? It's saying this, I think. That what you really need, what we really need, What I really need and desire in this life is in the hands of the Master before Bethphage. This is what I mean by that. These guys were fishing all night long, and they didn't catch a thing. But they got to the shoreline, and there was Jesus. And what did he have in his hands? Fish. The very thing that they were looking for was in the hands of the Lord all along. Seasoned, prepared perfectly. And guys, gals, for us today, we need to understand this about him. What we have need of and what we have desire for is in the hands of the Lord. And the problem is we go out and we go fishing. We're fishing over here, we're fishing over there. You know what? Coming up empty. Nets are empty. You're fishing. And I'm here to tell you that what you're looking for is in the hands of Christ. It's there for you. A lot of us, like Peter, we find ourselves in a search for meaning, in a search for things that matter and understanding in our life. We find ourselves, like Peter, maybe discouraged, maybe a little bit disenchanted, and we say, you know what, I'm going to go back and do some of the old things I used to do. I'm going to go back to some of the old hangouts. I'm going to go back to some of my old friends and what have you. You know, it's interesting. Right now, our culture has a fascination with two things, science fiction and nostalgia, the future and the past. Why is that? Because we have two legitimate needs, two God-given needs within every man and every woman. And one of them is the need for security, and the other one is for the need for significance or meaning in life. And it is no wonder that we are, as a culture, fascinated, you know, with movies like Independence Day. Any pastor that begins to preach on Revelations, the church is full of people because we all want to know what the future holds for us. Why? Because we have a need to be secure. We are unsure about the future. And we have this need to be secure. And we're fascinated with science fiction right now. Please note, it is science fiction. Fiction, non-true. But we also, in the need for significance, we look backwards in our lives, trying to say, try to find, make some sense or some meaning to our lives in some fashion. So we go backwards in our lives oftentimes. And we're trying to find some meaning. And we find ourselves oftentimes going back to some of the old ways. I remember as a cop, I loved being a police officer. I enjoyed it. And one day when my wife was gone, going to school, I had a chance to go out on patrol again, and yeah, I was all excited. Yeah, that's great. You know, I think you know the arrest people, you know, drunk drivers, they could shoot my gun, the whole thing, read right. The first five things that we did were family disturbance things. I hate those things. And I realized in going back, man, this is an empty net for me, man. I hate this. Oftentimes, people go back to old relationships. You know, you begin to reminisce about old relationships and things, and oh, how good it was with old Bubba, you know? You know, Betty Coed. How good it was, and you know, people at reunions going back to try to rekindle old relationships, you know, and it's this empty net, you know? People go back to the bars oftentimes, you know, thinking about, oh man, oh Joe, whenever he got drunk, he was the funniest thing in the world. Oh, it was so great, you know. Think about those old days, and people oftentimes go back to the bars and what have you. Interesting note, did you know that 85% of the people that are in those beer commercials, 85% of the people that are in beer commercials don't drink beer. That's pretty, you know. And you think, man, I can have it just like that. You know, those guys don't drink beer. I guess you couldn't tell a whole lot of beer if you showed it how it really was with some guy with his face in a toilet. You know? You wouldn't sell a whole lot of beer that way, you know? But 85% of those people, you know, don't drink beer. And the fact is, it's all a lie. That's the whole thing. And so is it too. You say, man, I'm going to go back. I'm going to go fishing. You know, fishing for significance. I'm going to go try to find some meaning in my life, and I'm going to go find it here. I'm going to try to find it there, and try to find it in this place over here. And you wonder, man, I'm coming up empty. Like these fishermen, I got an empty net. Paul writes, brethren, in Philippians 3:13, I do not count myself to have apprehended. I love this. I don't have it all together, Paul says. I'm still trying to figure things out, but one thing I know. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching toward those things which are ahead, I press towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. I'm not going back, is what he's saying. Why? I don't know what's ahead for me. I don't know what's ahead for me, but I do know this, is that I'm not going back to the old ways. I'm going to press forward for the prize, the goal, which is Jesus Christ. Now, there are those of us that have been just fishing in the long haul, coming up empty. But there are those of us, too, who are fishing in the right haul. But we're just missing it. Like these apostles. They were fishing in just a few feet away. And Jesus said, just put your nets on the other side. That's where the fish were. Just a little bit. We're just missing it. And I suggest, or I think that probably, I may be speaking to a bunch of folks here. You're fishing in the right hole. You're at church. You're involved. And yet, you're just coming up a little bit empty. You go to church. You're just not getting anything out of it anymore. Worship doesn't seem to thrill you anymore. Your prayers seem to bounce off the ceiling. You know, you're involved in Sunday school, and yet it's just not cutting it for you. And so, instead of going to church on a Wednesday or going to church on a Sunday night, instead, you're staying home and you're watching TV. You know? Just watching TV, and, you know, that's missing it too. I read this the other day about television. It's called the 23rd Channel. The TV is my shepherd, I shall not want. It makes me lie down on the sofa. It leads me away from the scripture. It destroys my soul. It leads me in the path of sex and violence for thy sponsor's sake. Yea, though I walk through the shadow of my Christian responsibilities, there will be no interruption, for the TV is with me. Its cables and its remote controls, they comfort me. It prepares a commercial before me in the presence of my worldliness. My coveting runneth over. Surely laziness and ignorance shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of watching TV forever. Maybe I'm speaking to you today. You know, you're fishing in the right hole, but you're coming up just a little bit empty. You're just missing it, just by a little bit. I'm doing all the right things. I'm in the right places. I'm missing it just a bit. I suggest to you that you're missing it by 18 inches, the difference between here and here. The fact is, guys, is that we fish. And Jesus himself, personally, has for us what it is we're fishing for. He has it. Not what we do for him. Not how often we go to church. But what he has for us personally. So what are we to do? What are we to do? This is what I suggest you do. You do exactly what Peter did. You dive in. Peter sees it, the Lord. He sees the fish. He smells it. And he just dives in. Head first. You got to go deeper in the Lord, guys. That's what I'm saying. A lot of us, I think, kind of dangle our feet, so to speak, in our Christianity, just enough to get our feet wet. And we're coming up dry and empty, and the Lord says, you've got to go deeper. I need a fuller commitment from you. Oh, not in what you do, But I want your heart. I want some of your time with me, personally. I want some of your time. And you may say, but Steve, I'm a busy man. I'm a busy woman. I've got kids to raise. I've got games I've got to go watch. I've got a job I've got to do. I've got, you know, responsibilities that I've got to do. And I say to you, there is no one busier in the Scriptures than Jesus. No one that had more responsibility in life than him, but no one ever accused him of being busy. No one ever accused him of being busy, of being a wine giver and a friend of sinners, yes. But never of being busy. Why? Because he took time to be with the Lord. He departed oftentimes. He departed early in the morning to be with the Lord, to do what? To get that meat, to get that fish, to get what he needed personally. You may say, I'm a busy person, and I would say to you this. I would ask you two questions. One of them is I would ask you the same question that Jesus asked Peter. Do you love me more than these? Your occupation. And in a healthy way, please understand me, your family. Your hobbies. Do you love me more than these? And if you do, you'll spend time with me if you love me. Not a lot of time. Just a little bit of time. A little bit more. I know when I was, you know, engaged to my wife, I woke up one night and I was missing her big time, and I was in Medford. And so I hopped in the car and I drove all the way down to Southern California, 12 hours, because I just wanted to be with her. Because I loved her. And it's the same way with the Lord, I think. If we love him, we want to be with him. But I also have another question for you. If you say, man, I'm busy, I'm just too busy, and I ask you one other question. If I offered you $5,000 at the end of, for 2 weeks, at the end of 2 weeks, I'll give you $5,000, and all you had to do was get up in the morning and read your Bible in the morning, pray three times a day, and read your Bible at night, I ask you this. Would you be too busy? Would it be too hard for you? And the fact is, guys, is that many of us are fishing. We're fishing and we're coming up empty. And the reality is that Jesus has for us in his hand the very things that we need. All along, if we will just take it and we've got to dive in, we've got to go deeper in him. That's what he's calling us to do. It's just to spend more time with him. Not to get more involved. He has it personally for you and for me. And so this is what I'm suggesting today. I'm suggesting this. One, if you don't know Jesus Christ and you're fishing in the wrong hole, you need to know that you can stop your fishing expedition today. Jesus himself has in his hands what you're looking for. But if you've been fishing too in the right hole, but you've been coming up just a little bit short and missing it just a little bit, it's what I have for you. Busy person. And I'm busy. And you are busy. We have many things to do. Go to bed 15 minutes early and get up 15 minutes earlier. That's all. 15 minutes. Go to bed 15 minutes earlier and get up 15 minutes earlier. And this is what I'd like you to do. If you want meat, if you want to be satisfied, if you feel like I've just been missing it just a little bit in my life, begin in Acts chapter 1 and read it. Read it. And ask three questions of it. What is this chapter saying to me? What does it mean, and how do I apply it? Just ask those three questions. Read it and see, what is it saying? Just break it down. What's it saying? Now, what does it mean to me personally? This is what it says. This is what happened, you know, 2,000 years ago. What does this mean to me personally? And now, what applications can I make to my life from it? And then get yourself a notebook and a piece of paper and write down
what God is saying to you. Write down your applications and then think about that scripture all day long. Think about it. Let the Lord minister to you. Let Him speak to your heart. Let Him give you that meat that you so need and desire. Let Him give it to you. And then come on Wednesdays, because we're going to be going through the book of Acts. Now, I know what you're thinking. I'm not trying to recruit you to come out on Wednesdays. I'm saying, folks, that I know. I know what it's like to be fishing. I know what it's like to be involved in Christian service and come up empty. I've been involved in Christian service for a long time, but my devotional life is my meat. The time that I spend with the Lord in the morning is my meat. Because the entirety of my Christian experience in involvement with God revolves around my study for Bible study. That's not meat that's there for me, it's meat for you. My personal devotional life, the time that I spend with Him, is where I get to fish, and it's there for me from the Lord. Come on Wednesday, study. Come on Wednesday, not for me, but for you. And you know, I guarantee you something. The Lord will meet you there. He will become meat for you. And you'll find your life becoming fulfilled, meaningful once again. If you don't know the Lord, man, you don't have to fish anymore. What you're looking for is found in the person of Christ. It's not going to be going back to the old habits either, like Peter. Going back to the bars or to old relationships and old buddies. And it's, you might find a certain amount of fulfillment there, but you'll find out too, your nets will be empty. I guarantee it. You see guys oftentimes, people, you know, going back to the bars and they're trolling. You know, they're putting on their best bait, perfume, haircut, you know, gold chain. Oh, and they're trolling, man, hoping to catch some fish and they're coming up empty. It's not there. Jesus Himself, Christ Himself who died for you, has what it is you are desiring in His own hands, prepared and ready for you, if you'll just take it. And maybe, again, you've just been missing it just a little bit. The Lord is calling you to go in a deeper relationship with Him, to go past your ankles, go past your knees, wade in and get in over your head, like Peter did. Dive in. There's too many of us, I think, that are kind of sitting on the peripheral. And we're saying, I don't know about this church thing, man. It's just not happening for me. What God's really calling you to do is dive in, head first, all the way. Calling for a greater commitment from you. Oh, but I'm too busy. I'm telling you, folks, it's a great payoff in the end. More than $5,000. For the Lord, man, it's for you. If we'll just dive in and take it. That's what God's saying for us today, I think. Peter, or John says, I've written this gospel of John to you that you might know that Jesus is the Son of God. And that believing in Him, you might have life. And I'm going to give you this wonderful illustration, man. Jesus has all along what you're fishing for, and all you got to do to get it is just total commitment to Him. Not to a church, but to Him. And read this word. To study it. This is where the meat is. And if you'll do that, folks, I guarantee you, money back, guaranteed, you will be satisfied. That's our Lord. And that's what God is saying to us this Sunday morning. In Jesus' name. Let's pray. Father, I love this illustration you've given to us, God. It is so cool. Of these guys fishing all night and coming up empty, and yet sitting there on the beach is Jesus, just calm and cool. Got fish all prepared. And He says, come and eat. And Father, I pray for those of us that are hungry this day, Lord. Those of us that have been going around, we're coming up empty. We've been fishing in our life for something that has meaning. And we're coming up with empty nets, so we're just missing it. It's there in your hands, God. You've got it. You have it there for us. We'll just take it. No magic words, no secret potions, no gyrations we have to go through. it is just there for us if we will take it. Lord, you're calling us to go deeper in you too, Lord. And I pray that we will do that this day, Father, and receive the meat that you have for us, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for this teaching. Thank you for this wonderful book of John, which really features the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And thank you for this epilogue, Lord, which reveals to us and illustrates to us so graphically, Father, the life that's there in Christ. Help us to receive it this day, I pray, this teaching. And the entire teaching of John, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's all stand, and Lauren will lead us in a final song. In his hands for you, if you'll just take it. But if you are a believer, a Christian tonight, and you've been fishing in the right hole for years, and yet you're coming up empty just a little bit, you're just missing it by just a little bit, a couple things. One, if you've got a busy life, you're just too busy to get into your devotional life, I want you to do this. Go to bed 15 minutes early and get up 15 minutes earlier. That's it. Go to bed 15 minutes early and get up 15 minutes early. Real simple. This is what I want you to do. Start tomorrow morning. If you're really hungry for meat, if you really want to go deeper, if you want to get serious with God and you're tired of fishing around, I want you to do this. Get yourself a pencil. Get yourself a little notebook. And sit down and start in Acts chapter 1. And read the book of Acts. Read just Acts chapter 1 for an entire week. Read it, think about it, and make some notes to yourself. What God is speaking to you. Look at it, think about it, eat on it just a little bit, and I guarantee you, I'll give you your money back. Maybe. I guarantee you, God will meet you. He will feed you, and you will no longer, your life will begin to make sense once again. You realize, man, I'm fishing on the right side now. I'm not coming up empty, man. I'm coming up with meat. You read Acts chapter 1, make some notes about it, and if you don't know how to approach the scriptures, I'll give you a format to follow, real simple. I'll even go into greater detail with it afterwards. Come up to me and talk to me up here or out there. I'll give it to you. But basically, ask three questions of Acts chapter 1, or whatever you are reading. What does it say, the chapter? What does it mean? And how can I apply it to my life? As you read it, ask those three questions and make yourself some notes and think about what you have read all day long. And then, I want you to pray about what you learned. Pray it in. Lord, you're challenging me here on the Spirit-filled life. I want to walk in the Spirit. I want that empowerment. I need that. And then pray it in. And this is the next thing I want you to do. Come out Wednesday night and Sunday morning. Now, I'm not, believe me, I'm serious here. It may sound like, oh, you're trying to recruit me for Wednesday night. No, I'm not. I just know what can happen when you feast on the Word. There is a meal that's there that Jesus has for you if you'll just begin to eat. It's there. Jesus reveals himself. He feeds us in the Word. Come out on Wednesday night. Study with us. I'm going to be going through Acts on Wednesdays and Sundays. I guarantee you, you'll no longer be hungry. God will meet you in that place. What I'm sharing with us tonight is this. John says at the end of his gospel, I write these things to you that you may know that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and living in Him, you might have life. And we go out fishing, and we come up empty, and yet we find out and realize in the scriptures here that Jesus is waiting there with a meal prepared for us if we will just take it. That is why I think Jesus, or John, wrote this epilogue to his gospel. And may the Spirit speak to you today personally, by your own life. If you don't know Jesus Christ, night to night, man, you can stop your fishing around. You can come up, man, full. But if you are a Christian and you've been fishing and just missing it, the Lord speaks to us tonight and says, I've got a meal for you. It's in the Word. It's me. Study and learn of me. I have it for you if you'll just take it. I pray that Lord, it speaks to you tonight personally and challenge you in this scripture in Jesus' name. Father, I love the picture that you're a guy. You're the most creative guy I know. And Father, you blow my mind when I see this kind of stuff. And Lord, it's so simple. It's so earth-shaking. Father, it's so mind-boggling for us, Lord, when we see, Lord, that what we are looking for in our life, Lord, is there in your hand. And we go around trying to find it here. We pour ourselves into our work, into our hobbies, into our families. And all those things are all good. But Lord, we know as we do these things and give ourselves to these things and these responsibilities, that somehow we just feel a little bit empty. It's because, Lord, you have what we are searching for. And Father, will you quicken our hearts this day, Lord? Would you help us, Lord, to stop fishing around and come to you, Lord Jesus, the one who has meat for us, Lord, refreshment, nourishment for us, Lord. And I pray too, Father, that those of us that have just been kind of dabbling in you, Lord Jesus, I pray tonight that we would, like Peter, say, you know what, I'm going to dive in. I'm that guy that's been dabbling my feet. I've been kind of, you know, I'm up to my ankles, up to my knees, and you want me to go over my head, and up, but I've been a little bit resistant to it. I pray, Father, that we would say, you know what, the only way I'm going to get it is to go all the way. I'm going to dive in like that guy in that nasty commercial. Falls back in the water and is refreshed. Lord, that's what's waiting for us. And there's only one way to get it. Not by looking at it. Not by thinking about it, but it's by making the commitment to say, I'm going in over my head. There. I pray, Father, you speak to us. And now, real quickly, I'm not going to make a big deal for this. I want to pray for you. If you're here tonight, and you've been fishing around in some of the wrong holes, and you're coming up empty, and you're saying, you know what? I'm going to come to Jesus Christ. I'm going to take that fish that he's got. I'm going to accept Jesus Christ. I'm going to recommit myself to him tonight. If that is you tonight, would you pop up your hand real quick, because I just want to pray for you. That's real simple. You're saying, yeah, that's me. Okay, got you back here. Pray for you. Yeah, thanks. Someone else. I'm going to commit. Got you over here. You put your hand down. Thanks. You guys over there. Good. Put your hand down. Someone else. The Lord's moving here. Okay. Yeah. Got it. Thanks. Maybe you're here tonight and you say, you know, I've been in the right hole, but, you know, I feel the call of God calling me to go deeper. And I'm going to take that plunge. If that is you, and you say, I'm going to go for it, I'm going to give myself wholly and totally to Him, if that's you tonight, would you raise your hand, because I want to pray for you. Okay, over here, got you, all the buttons, yeah. Put your hands down, great. Father, I pray for these tonight, Lord, that have raised their hands and have said, I've been fishing in the wrong hole. Father, you see what's going on in these people's lives. You see the motivations. You see the things that are happening in their life, Lord Jesus. And I pray right now, Father, that you would receive them, and may they know, Lord Jesus, that they are forgiven. That salvation has taken place tonight because of Jesus Christ, who is the Son of God, who died that we might have life and life abundantly. And if you would just in your own heart right now, just pray this prayer with me, just silently in your heart. Father, I receive you as Lord of my life. Thank you for forgiving me of my sins. I commit myself to you. And use me now, Lord, and bless me. In Jesus' name. Right now the angels are rejoicing in heaven because of that simple prayer. That's all there is. May you know that, man, your fishing excursion is over with, man. It's over with. You've got what you've been after, and it's in Jesus Christ. And Father, there were a bunch of hands that went up tonight. A bunch of hands that went up tonight that said, I'm dry bones. I'm in church, but man, I'm just been missing it. Father, I pray tonight, Lord, that these folks that raise their hand would just go deeper. Would just take that plunge. It's scary, I know, Lord Jesus, but Father, maybe find themselves just totally lost in you. It's kind of risky at times, Father, but it's where the blessings are. Willie Sutton, the famous bank robber, they asked him, why do you rob banks? And he said, that's where the money is. And Father, why do we give ourselves wholly to you? Because that's where the blessing is. That's where the need is, Lord Jesus. And I pray for these, Lord Jesus, that God tonight would mark a turning point in their life, in the relationship with you, and that is that I'm going deeper in you. I'm giving myself wholly to you, and I'm going to get in that river, and I'm not going over my head. I'm going to release control to you. May you know that there's blessing up there for you. Blessing. Father, you've done a good work tonight, Father. And the neat thing about it is, Lord, in this epilogue, it's all true. It illustrates for us so pointedly the meat that we have in Jesus Christ. Therefore, you have it. People just take it. And we do tonight. Thank you, Father, for your good work. In Jesus' name. Amen.